one silver lining out of today, that'd be the one I'd take.
Well, Keith, I'd like to get out and drink a few beers with you sometime. I heard you had a late night excursion with LCIP. See ya.
865-200-5402. Philly just invited you out, like hit on you, I think. Second half, Arkansas, Missouri, 59-58.
This league, nobody's consistent. There's one consistent team that, well.
And even they're not consistent.
No. They're consistent when they choose to be.
Back to our phones. That's exactly right. Back to our phones we go. For instance, when they come to Knoxville.
Oh, they'll be.
They're going to
choose. All guns blazing.
They're going to choose to be. They're going to choose to be in that game.
Oh, no. From his time at Memphis, John is not one of Tennessee's bigger fans.
No, he's. And we're not one of John's bigger fans.
And the 40-something point beatdown or whatever it was a couple of years ago, we laid on them the game after.
That was great.
Nerlens Noel got hurt, didn't exactly leave a good taste in his mouth either. So, no, I would say we'll get the full load of them when they roll in here.
865-200-5402.
I don't know how we're going to get a rebound that day. There are back-to-back games there that I don't know how Tennessee will get a rebound. I mean, we get them and LSU back-to-back. That's not...
Again,
you better hope the Harrison brothers throw it away a bunch and Josh Gray does his Bo Wallace imitation, because otherwise if they get the ball in the front court, we're going to have two really long days.
Okay, Keith, laugh at me. We have what, 8 games in the league left? No?
12.
12 games in the league left.
Yeah.
If we split them, I'll take that all day long.
Well, I think 18 and 14... with the schedule they've played, depending on what the wins are coming down the stretch.
You're in.
You're at least, I think you're in the discussion, because you're going to have a really,
with that
have a really nice strength
schedule. Yes.
Butler, I think, is going to continue. If Kansas State keeps doing what they're doing, I mean,
yes.
you stack them and Butler. Maybe you pick off LSU once for one of those 6 that you win the rest of the way. I mean, you're in the discussion. I mean, there's always an 18-14, 19-15-ish team that gets in.
Well, you still have the tourney left. You still have the tournament yet.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you just, okay, throw in, say you go 1-1 there.
Okay.
Okay, you're 19-15.
You're in.
There's always a 19-15 team in there.
Oh, yeah. With our resume, you're in.
Yeah.
Or just
the only thing that worries me, like I said, is I don't know how much of a benefit of the doubt we're going to get considering their NCAA's.
Oh, the hell with those people. I mean, you're right about that, because what you have is a bunch of you. What kills me about these people that cover the game nationally is they know how scummy the game is and how dirty the game is, but yet they choose to moralize when people like Tindall find themselves in trouble. But it's always the little guy that gets picked on in the NCAA.
Oh.
The North Carolinas and the Syracuses of the world have to run egregiously so far outside of the lines in order to even get looked at.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. Well, I mean, just to draw something, I'm sure not a lot of people here have any sympathy for Kentucky, but look what happened about 5 years ago. There was no doubt in anybody's mind in the country, the two best resumes in the country going into the tournament were Kentucky and West Virginia. So what do? They put them in the same bracket and then admit that, oh, yeah, they were really the number one and number two seeds, but we didn't want West Virginia to have to travel too far. So we decided to put them in Syracuse instead.
To punish them.
No. What they didn't want to say is, we don't want John Calipari and Bob Huggins both in the Final Four.
865-200.
We've got to get rid of one of them.
865, but Jerry Palm tells me they don't do things for that reason. They also don't put protégés against teams.
Kay ends up playing one of his guys every year just by happenstance.
Oh, there's just so many of them who have been wildly successful. Let's go back to the phones, 865-200-5402, if you want to get in. There's a minor lull in our phone activity, so if you want to jump in with us, an opportunity for you here on your smart way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime. As soon as the game goes final, we talk about it here, and let's grab another call and welcome our next call in. Hello.
Well, hello, Tony.
Hey, Donnie boy. I got a good shout out on you earlier.
Yes, I heard the free.
It's a pretty good line, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Hey, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the game, grandson had 28 today.
28, wow.
He had 22 at halftime. His daddy made him quit shooting.
Well, there you go. His dad's a nice guy. You got to share the ball. It's part of
it. Well, Tennessee had about 22 at halftime today, Donnie.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. Hey, guys, tell you, I'm sure I didn't get here the first 20 minutes or so, but what was y'all's take on denying Richardson the M1?
Awful.
I thought that was an atrocious.
Awful.
I thought that was the one call, and I mean, there were some other things that.
Sure.
I mean, the call on Carmichael that JJ referenced was pretty bad, but I thought the call on Richardson was, I thought the call, not counting that basket, was egregious. But outside of that, I didn't see much. I thought they were about what I consider SEC quality officiating now. I didn't see anything that awful one way or the other.
Yeah. That was one that bugged me, because that really gave us a shot to kind of climb back in and then, you know, get that wiped out. And then you have the questionable goaltending, but, you know.
What did you think, Don? Was it questionable or was it off?
Yeah, I think the second shot they were showing. Of course, I mean, the referee didn't see the second shot.
No.
He called it right on the floor. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure A&M interfered. By the way, before that, one of the A&M players slapped the backboard. Didn't we get in trouble games back for doing that?
They caught a tee on Richardson for that. But I talked with somebody earlier who's an official about that play, and he said, look, it's an official's discretion. You can call it. It is very seldom called. There is one other situation that happened in the game, guys, that I'd like to bring up. What about when Kevin Punter shot that ball from the wing and the defender came down on the bridge of his nose and hit him so hard that that punter went to the ground face first and obviously got up, shaken up. Now, he shook off the medical team at Tennessee and stayed in the game. But, boy, he really took a shot. I'm surprised they didn't go to the monitor, guys, and look at that, because that was a nasty, wicked shot that Kevin Punter took. Can you do that, Keith, in that situation, or is it only with regards to intent with elbows?
I think you look at it anytime there's a blow to the head. I mean, my understanding is that rule is an unnecessary contact rule. So I think they could have looked at it. I think that's one place where probably being Bronx tough kind of hurt Punter. Is there guys in this league, if you hit one of the Harrison twins like that, they'd be over there doing CPR on them.
So that is a legitimate point to bring up. I bet you Donnie, one thing I like about Donnie, guys, is that he doesn't, after games, he doesn't bitch about the refs. We haven't heard him all year where he's had a chance, and he's had a chance at a couple of occasions, but he chooses not to do that. I wonder, though, internally, if he'll say to the league office, hey, my guy almost got his head knocked off here in our gym, and we got nothing out of this. I got to protect my guys.
I think one thing that happened there, Tony, was it was so late that I'm not sure the official hadn't already turned his back to it.
Can you call it, Keith? Do the refs have to see it? Can you call it to their attention?
I think you can call it to their attention. But, I mean, that's one of those, I think, like I said, Kevin kind of waving it off probably took it out of everybody's mind. And I couldn't tell, because that's the opposite side of the floor from
it
me.
Was, so wait till you say it.
I couldn't tell if it was the shot the guy gave him that hurt him, or his fall to the floor that hurt him. So I couldn't tell
there's
which
no
one.
Now, there's no doubt he fell face first on the floor, but he took a nasty, and I mean nasty, shot to his face.
I mean, that's the one I couldn't tell, because that's across the floor from me, and I'm looking through pretty much everybody on the floor as I'm looking across at that. So I couldn't really. I saw him go down, but I couldn't tell if he was just off balance or he got hit or not. I couldn't tell from where I was at. They never really ran anything in the arena that would have told us one way or the other.
Well, you know, you were talking about the threes and stuff, especially as hot as Punter was. The last 10 minutes of that game, I was begging him to quit going inside and just setting up for him to take threes. I mean,
well, there's nobody. Well, Donnie, there's nobody to throw the ball to inside.
Right. I mean, every time we did, we either got a turnover, a missed layup, you know, there were just so many turning points in a game and ended up that tight. Like after hitting 10 straight free throws, you go up and claim for an every one and one.
Yeah, that was big time.
I mean, there's this, you know, that's the thing about basketball. It don't take a lot. We got down 16, 17, whatever we got down at one point in time. My brother-in-law's going, but it's over. I said, nah, maybe we can do like teams do us and make a big 2-minute comeback. And sure enough, you know, it was like six when one of those episodes happened. Either the,
Hubs rattles a three out when we're down, I think, seven. I think if it goes down, we're right back in it.
And I mean, that thing went down and came out. It wasn't like he threw up a brick. And punter's shot, I contend what Keith does, which is if that goes or Reese is able to tip that back, either way, Tennessee puts a press on there and they are in A&M, complete and total scramble mode there at the end of that game. They're kind of like we were at South Carolina. They are on the ropes. Just a matter of, are they going to be able to get out of it with a standing eight count, like in the old boxing days? Because that's what it was about to be. We were fixing
to see that place. Yeah, the bell was the only thing. If that goes in, the only thing that was going to save them was the bell.
Yes, that's exactly right, because we were fixing to come unglued in that place.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, next week when we play Auburn up here like you guys are talking about, it's just going to be a riot. There's no doubt about it.
It's going to be fun.
One thing I like about Donnie, he may not say nothing about the refs in the post game, et cetera, but he sure lets them know what he's thinking. He ain't like it for the last 3 years.
No. He'll cuss you out now. I mean, come on.
Sometimes I'm not sure if he's cussing one of our players for what they did or the referee.
Oh, it's classic, man. It's classic.
It is something to watch. There's no doubt. But I tell you what, this guy, you know, he just got to stay here.
Got to stay. Got to stay. This is so fun. Got to stay, Don. Got to stay.
And we could get out in the Schofield and this other kid that's just murdering people game after game in there next year to supplement our shooting and stuff. Still, like you guys have said, like Dino said, you know, I mean, we got to have a one, we got to have a five. We got to find one somewhere.
Hey, Don, can I ask you something now that we're on here? And, you know, we just talk among friends here on this app, and it's a great thing. We're not on the air. We're on our time, as I like to say. I feel like one of those senior citizen dating sites, but as we sit here tonight on our time, Don, why is it in this market that some people are so hostile toward Donnie Tindall? Jimmy Haim said apparently in Nashville, I didn't hear it, but it was all over Twitter, that he doesn't think he's going to survive this, which, I mean, they must be talking to completely different people than the people I talk to. Mm-hmm. Another guy saying Ben Hallen's going to be the coach by the end of the year, apparently somewhere. Deerstone is flat out just hostile toward the head coach. Don, you've been doing this. You've been at this for a long time like I have. We've been doing business about 20 years here. What's going on? What am I missing? Because those people don't know. I don't pretend to know. I don't know whether the guy's going to be here or not. But it sounds like they're hoping he's not here. What has he done to anybody? Do you understand what I mean?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I know Bill Stone's comments about once a liar, always a liar. I know that the same crowd that is trying to run Donnie off is one that, you know, hammered Bruce, you know, during the whole deal. Just almost like you said, seemed to be gleeful over the show calls, gleeful when he got suspended by Slime. I really don't know, but, you know, I read other boards and I get stories from other newspapers around the conference. I don't know another in-town media, newspaper, radio, whatever, that seems to have an agenda against the teams they're covering. You don't get this crap in Florida or Alabama. If anything, they're cheerleaders. I'm not saying be a cheerleader, but you don't.
Well, I mean, to your point, listening to New England sports radio the last couple days,
Yeah, there's you.
They have been a complete embarrassment. I mean, you might have thought that that charge of cheating by New England came out of nowhere.
Rather than a history.
Yeah, and they act like this Tindall guy is Jerry Tarkanian. And I'm going, what are they talking about?
One thing I think is some of the people you just mentioned before the season started have their predictions of over under 12 wins, 10 wins, 4 conference wins. And he's made kind of a mockery out of their expertise, right?
Well, okay. I mean, that might maybe that's, I don't know what the case is. I know this. I picked this team to scratch out an NIT bid. They're going to blow through that. I'm glad to be wrong. I hope I'm wrong all the way to
the
NCAA tournament.
You're glad to be wrong, but those other people aren't.
Wow.
They won't.
They take themselves that seriously? I mean, come on.
I think so.
Wow. Thank you, Don. I just wanted to get your perspective on that. Let's go back to the phones. Hatfield, do you have a thought on that? Why is it open season on Donnie Tindall? And there seems to be so much... Like it's almost like a moralizing tone about it too. I mean, he's just run afoul of the NCAA and the whole thing at Moorhead. And what?
I just think it's you've got a lot of guys that I think are invested in. They're not particularly excited about the men's basketball program succeeding here for various reasons. And I think because they're protecting their little cult sports because they know nobody shows up or nobody pays attention.
Well, that's the morning show guy. Okay, well, I mean, what's going on with the other people? What am I missing?
Well, Himes has always been a moralizer. Himes is a guy who spent the entire time Ed Orgeron and Lane Kiffin were here trying to undermine them because they're not a bunch of kiss asses like the SEC coaches and the stooges like Rick and Fulmer that he loves to kiss up to and go to prayer meetings and barbecues with and stuff. So, I mean, and that's what it is.
I mean, do these people really think that college sports are pure? What do they think? That's what I'm wondering.
No, they love to pretend it is.
Why? That's my point. Why?
Well, because that makes them feel better about it.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200.
They don't like to think that, wow, this thing that I'm making my living off is just a dirty deal.
But here's what we're all doing. I don't look at it as a dirty deal. Here's what we're doing, okay? We're serving the fans. We're an extension of the fans. And sometimes, I meet people mad when I do this, we're also advocates for the players in the modern day. It's a very important role that we play. But why wouldn't we? None of us know what's going to happen. I wouldn't dare tell somebody, I think Donnie Tindall's coming back next year. I don't know. I've never said that. I tell you, I think he's in great shape with the money people in this town. And you know what? Those are the people that matter. I just can't figure out who those people are talking to get that. Because they're not talking to the right people. I'm just telling you, look, at the end of the Pearl run, I was telling everybody that Pearl was out. Everybody. And nobody believed me until it happened.
Well,
nobody.
That was obviously a very different deal too, Tony.
But I mean, my point is, they were wrong about them. My point is, they missed that too. They're not talking to the right people. When you get on the wrong side of the powerful people, that's when you go in all these jobs. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, that's the deal.
That's the
walk of life.
That's the deal. That's the only thing that matters. It's the deal.
We love to think we're a democracy and it's a real egalitarian society, but I mean, the bottom line is there are a whole bunch of pretty much there are people who are in power in various places, and they're in power for a reason, and they're the people who are the decision makers.
I didn't want to get off on that. But I just for the life of me can't figure out where that's coming from because it's very incongruent with what I hear. That's all. I mean, look, if I thought for a second that the power people in this town wanted Donnie Tindall done in a year, I would tell you that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing for us to...
What's in it for me? Right. He'll say, well, you're his boy. Listen, not anybody's boy, first of all. And if I thought that was the case, I would tell him himself, I think you're done.
Yeah.
We're big boys here. We're big boys and girls.
You and I aren't going to get any interviews next week from anybody at Auburn because we told the truth 5 years ago. I mean, that's the truth.
I just can't figure it out. Yeah. I mean, with Pearl, people say, you're going to have Pearl on this week? No, he's not talking to me. Why?
No.
Because I did my job when he was here. That's okay.
And I've been very honest. I'm telling you, I don't think anybody's been more pro Donnie Kendall than you and I in this town. But if I get reason to believe that he was directly funneling money to people to pay for Prop 48's tuition, he's got to go. I mean, that's simple. I mean, but you're going to have to prove that to me. A, because I don't think Donnie Kendall's a complete imbecile.
Exactly.
So this idea that all of a sudden, and the idea of what went on the other morning where, oh, well, it's obviously this, that, or the other because he had to have lied to Dave Hart because he didn't tell Dave Hart there might be NCAA problems. Well, if you don't think there are NCAA problems, you're under no obligation to tell somebody there are.
Well,
that's making an incredible leap of faith. That's not only saying that something might have gone on at Southern Miss, that's saying that Donnie Kendall orchestrated it and hid it.
Well, that's like, if any of us are in a job interview, people who take off on this guy, and then we'll go back to the phones. I don't want to get off on this, but it's just interesting to me what's occurring right now. On your Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime as the Vols lose today to Texas A&M at the arena. And, of course, this shadow and the specter of what awaits with the NCAA looms and does in the background, whether it looms large or it looms in the shadows or it's just like that little drip of a faucet late at night that just keeps you up at night, drip, drip. Ordinarily, it's not. You don't hear it. But right now, the house is a little quiet, and everybody's sensitive to it. And Mike Board is on campus talking about the offensive coordinator job. I had a great tweet today from a guy saying, please tell me that he's down there because he's looking at property with the rest of the Yankees down at Teleco. That's a pretty good line. And then I had a pretty good line. I said, I please tell me Michigan's going to be involved in the Dogwood Relays and he's here to set things up for their track program. Because that's what he's doing right now, but I don't know. Anyway, by the way, Rick Ray is wearing a tablecloth. That guy has the presence, literally, of a gnat.
It's just...
But let me go back here. This thing with Kendall is weird to me because people have already decided that he's gone and nobody has decided that he's gone. Nobody that matters has come to the conclusion that this guy is not worth fighting for. And I'm going to make a prediction to you, okay? Knowing the way the NCAA does things, they'll probably release that letter Thursday of this week.
Oh, yeah.
On the eve of the Pearl thing to just try and create an environment where we get beat and it's a Black Saturday and we're all on here talking about how woe is me and... Because that is how they do things.
Right.
So, when that letter is released, it is going to look terrible. The people I talk to tell me that they don't think it's going to be, at the end of the day, terrible. Now, here's a couple things to keep in mind, and then we'll go back to the phones. Because I didn't mean to get off on this. But, one of the things to keep in mind on this deal is, and I'm fighting some congestion here, so I apologize, but one of the things to keep in mind on this deal is that the North Carolina situation is in the pipe, and I talked to somebody last night about this. North Carolina situation is in the pipe ahead of Tennessee. The Syracuse situation right now, Keith, is in the pipe ahead of Tennessee, and Tennessee feels like on the runway of life as far as the NCAA goes, SMU is further along than Tennessee is. So, to make, and by the way, in all three of the accounts, in fact, there are currently 21 schools being, or coaches, schools and or coaches being investigated for academic improprieties. 19 of them are in Division One. One is in Division Three. One is in Division Two, under the auspices of the NCAA. Tennessee feels like it would be way premature to draw any conclusions until they see what happens with the parallel cases at some of these other places, particularly North Carolina. And here's what's the rub is going to be at the end of this. If the NCAA doesn't punish Roy Williams, and I mean punish him fiercely, not like Fidel Goodell toward New England, I'm talking about a serious punishment, not a you've been fined $1 million and nobody knows whether you pay it or not, as Sean Sinclair so astutely pointed out the other day. Sean, Hatfield, at the end of that, will have, I mean, we are so far from this thing having any kind of timetable. I mean, hell, it could drag in the next season, Keith.
No, it certainly could. But now, one thing, Tony, I understand. Just it'll be the only thing I say on the air the whole time about Deflategate. There's a penalty in place if you deflate a football. If you tamper with the game ball, you know what it is? It's $25,000. Those are the rules.
You're a clown. Back to the phones.
I mean, those are the rules.
You're a clown. Georgia and Mississippi State, 49-46, 12.5 to play in the game. And mercifully, that one will be over in a half hour for somebody. As a kid from Georgia just shot a ball over the backboard, Potsy Weber Eccles just shot a ball over the backboard. Hello and welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Robbie Eccles just shot a ball from the left wing that literally hit the top of the backboard and went out of bounds. Now, he is crying that it was deflected. And the officials did not see it that way. SEC basketball at its finest.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. SEC basketball is the best in the country.
No question. Just ask the guys on the SEC network if you don't believe me. And they'll also tell you that the women's game is on par with the men when you watch that channel.
Do they sniff airplane glue before they go on the air?
I don't know. And I'll say this today. I thought the two guys who did the Tennessee game did a pretty nice job. Larry Conley in the house, and Buzz Baker.
Neither one of them probably have anything. Steve Hamer the other night had an incredible call on the game. How he's not the lead announcer for SEC Network basketball, their premier game of the week is beyond me. It must be because Steve hadn't tried to get the job. He's incredible.
Interesting.
Well, no, I'm just waiting for. I can't believe that Kyle Macy. I can't believe that every color commentator in the SEC Network for men's game isn't from Kentucky.
I totally agree with that.
I'm waiting for Sam Bowie, Kenny Walker.
You got old Barry Booker from Vandy.
Jay Scheidler.
Barry Booker is without a doubt. I liked old Jordy Halberg from back in the day, the LSU guy. He used to be back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Wow, I haven't thought about him in a minute.
He's still down there. Jordy does little talk radio, little television down in the Baton Rouge area. I've always liked his personality. I'd put Bobby Hebert on there and let him cuss at people.
That guy's beautiful.
He's so next level. Could you imagine him in a forum like this where he's not tethered to the FCC? Goodness gracious.
Calling out to see if he can get him on Thursday night show.
We ought to. I'm going to arrange that for Cloney. We're going to get Cloney a little Bobby Hebert flavor.
Bobby Hebert, the clone, and maybe a little guest shot from TR.
There you go.
So, well, here's a few things I know, guys. We're still where we were last week. We still got a really good young team that hasn't even really, most of these guys haven't been on campus for more than 7 months. We've still got a great coach. That letter is going to drop Thursday morning. It's going to look horrible. And Hyams and the rest of the trolls in town have no idea what the hell they're talking about. They never have. That's why I'm not getting worked up about it.
I don't know whether they know. I just know this. We ain't talking to the same people. And we weren't during the Pearl years. At the end of that thing, it's mystifying to me.
Yeah, but I knew you were dead on it because I was hearing from a couple of the same people that you were probably hearing from. And from different aspects of the whole Pearl saga that, people don't talk about. We've talked about it before.
here's the thing. Tennessee right now doesn't even know what they're being accused of. So how in the hell can you tell
Tennessee's
me?
Tennessee's not being accused of anything.
Well, what I'm saying is, let's go back here. They don't even know what that coach is going to be accused of. They know what the questions were, the line of questioning. I don't understand how you can make a judgment, and you got guys like Gottlieb. He doesn't even know one damn player on our team. What are you kidding me? Right.
I'm of the mind that I wholeheartedly agree with Keith Hatfield on the fact that I'll believe it when I see it that they've actually tied our coach to something, because you know you can't get any further from an imbecile than Donnie Tindall.
Unless he was reckless down there, which, you know, it may come out that he was reckless. That'll surprise me too, me too.
And if it does, it'll get taken care of. But the idea from guys in the media here, absent even the release of the letter or anything, that he somehow lied to Dave Hart, and this is obviously a fireable offense, it's just mind-boggling to me. I'm sure Gulp's probably listening. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a little disappointed in Donnie for even going on and talking to anybody on that station at this point. I mean, you gotta know who your friends are and who your enemies are in this world. And I think it's pretty obvious who's who.
Yeah. How rough do you think it's going to be tomorrow over there at Pratt Pavilion? You think Coach Tindall's going to address our complacency issues from today, tomorrow?
I would think so. I would certainly think so. I mean, I thought the first half was lackadaisical. I just thought the second half they didn't. I thought A&M made some shots. I thought the first half probably there was some effort lacking. I didn't really see that in the second half.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell when you're listening to the radio broadcast. You know, it's a totally different way of taking in
and also it's tough just from the fact that this team doesn't have great talent. So a lot of what some people may think they're lackadaisical is just because, well, that guy's not that quick, that guy can't jump, that guy can't shoot.
And they're worn out, which is the other thing you have to take into account. You got nine guys going right now, and really you're playing, with all due respect to Carmichael, you're playing eight guys, and you're playing several that are having to go against bigger people, and it's just going to wear you out, man. And I'm making excuses, but they weren't themselves today. And it's a shame, because a lot of the fringe fans have sampled them on a couple of Saturdays, and this was not the heaping pile of dung that the Alabama game was, but this wasn't far from it.
No, that flurry at the end kind of saved it from being that.
That's right.
And I'll give the boys that. They just seem to be in that, we're at that, you know, getting towards the end of January. You know, they've been grinding for about going on 4 weeks now of steady conference play. And, you know, maybe their legs just came up a little soft today. I don't know. I imagine I have total faith in Coach Tindall that he's going to get them rested and remotivated, though, before Tuesday night. So
I love that.
I think
they
go down there and shock the SEC.
They're going to play that team off its feet, I do believe. They're not going to blow us out. Thanks, Robbie. Appreciate the call.
No, I'm telling you, if we're talking about, actually, if we're taking Carmichael out, we're only playing seven.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because if you're counting nine scholarship guys, that includes Tariq Owen.
I just got to pause and just think about what a job those kids have done.
Yeah, and I think that's one reason Donnie's talking about energy and complacency. I don't think he's as angry with the effort, because I think he realizes the fatigue factor too.
Yep.
I think that's just him trying to keep it in their head that they've got to push through.
You know, that's a great point.
I think that's a lot of that.
Very observant on your part, because if I look at the total minutes played today, Armani Moore played 34 minutes against bigger people the whole day and got shoved around. Derek Reese today played 31 minutes in that game. Kevin Punter today played 34. Richardson played 35. Hubs played 28. Mostella played 9. Carmichael 15. And Bachman 14. And Donnie says he can only play Bachman in short spurts because there are conditioning issues there with him. And when you count that roster up, that's eight guys that played today.
And that's not even a true eight-man rotation.
That's stark.
Like you said, the limitations you're going to have on Balkman and the limitations that you're going to have on Willie Carmichael most nights because of fouls.
And the crazy thing about Richardson is he's playing 35 minutes. I think he's trying to do too much on the offensive end at times. They have to figure out a way to reel him back in. And I don't know how you do that, but...
Well, because they can't take him off the ball. That's the problem.
That's the problem. And when he has the ball...
If somebody could actually do that,
yep,
you could do it.
And when he has the ball in his hands, he feels the need to do something with it, which, again, I don't blame him for that. But if there's one thing you can point to with him, it's that he, I don't want to say out of control, that's not fair. He just tries to do too much. But at the same time, we all understand that. We all understand why he tries to do too much. He's like you when you have a friend that you're embarrassed to be around and they're walking into a group of people you like, Keith, and you know the guy's going to say something really stupid, and you just try to fill all the air up because you don't want this guy to embarrass the... I mean, I've been there before. In fact, I am that guy. But go ahead.
I was about to say, I mean, he's like the guy, if you're the best guy in a baseball, on an otherwise crappy baseball team, you're trying to hit an 8-run home run every time you're up there.
Yep.
It just doesn't work.
Kind of relax. Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. Thank you, Randy Dalton. Online at daltonhydraulic.com. Randy told me they finished up 350,000 AC and DC hydraulic cylinder and power units they sold last year. The goal this year is to go higher. He said, Tony, with our involvement with you, we had our biggest year ever. We will continue to this year because your audience has been most responsive. He didn't use those terms. Randy doesn't talk like that, but he said, I'll tell you what, son, we got good feedback. He calls me son, which is okay. Sponsoring this show, you call me son anytime you want, brother. In fact, I answer to a lot of other things.
People often call me something with son in it, Tony, but it has some more.
You said it, I didn't. I met a guy the other day, you'll like this, Hatfield, at one of the pilot remotes. And he said, is he really as big a bastard as he sounds like? I said, no. He goes, oh, well, that's good to know. I said, no, actually, he's bigger.
He's far worse.
Yeah, I said, yeah. Hatfield is the worst, but only in the middle of a live spot can you get the term bastard and SOB. But let me just remind you that Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, ladies and gentlemen, anything that turns or makes components work, they have. Whether it's a hose or a hose assembly, or a coupling or a hydraulic motor or thousands of bearing, thousands and thousands, just like the thousands and thousands gathered today down at Stegman Coliseum on the campus of Georgia, which if I was convinced we were going to win that game, I would take a Buzz Petro, a Zoe Petro down there. We never did a Zoe Petro. Do you believe that?
Oh, I can believe that.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Back to our busy phones. Let's get another call. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony Pizon.
Hey, buddy. Welcome, man.
How you doing? Keith, how you doing, buddy?
Doing fine, Pizon. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good, buddy. They scored 30 in the paint, and we scored 10, and still only lost by 6. That's the first time I've seen them in person, and actually was sitting right on the floor. I'll tell you what, actually, you know, we didn't play. I really got to look at what we've got, but I'll tell you, A&M is no joke. I mean, they got some big boys in the paint, and that point guard is both of them actually. But I got to tell you, we just down there. I was sitting so close when a guy hits, you could tell we weren't moving them; they were moving us. It kind of reminds me of last year with Stokes and Naaman. You remember guys that go in there and try to muscle them in the paint, you couldn't move them. Well, that's what was up to us today. So, and Tony, you're 100% right. Josh is in a position where he's trying to do too much.
Yeah, and I don't know how you reel him in because, like Keith said, what are you going to do, take the ball out of his hands? When you take the ball out of his hands, who are you going to let handle it? So they're in a tough spot with him, and they've got to figure out a way to manage it. But Pizon, we had a call earlier, and the guy was right. An hour or so ago, said, you know, the only way Tennessee's going to win that game is if they ugly that thing up. If they figure out a way to ugly that game up,
You're right.
And playing that team conventional basketball, that ain't going to work, man.
Nope.
It's just not.
And it didn't.
It did not. And it will not.
They, like I said, we just don't have the... And actually, but I'll tell you, that was a heck of an atmosphere in there today. It was very loud. I mean, that was the crowd. What they announced at 16? It was all of that, but it was a heck of an atmosphere over there today. And hey, Keith, I'll tell you, to me, the difference in that game was the first 5 minutes of the second half, because we made that run and got it back to two at halftime, and they came out and absolutely just outplayed us and hustled us that first 5 minutes of the second half, and that's when they got that 17-point lead, and we couldn't come back.
Oh no, we're not going to be able to dig out of holes like that. This team goes in that kind of tank, you can forget it.
Yep. Yeah, I thought me and Bino were together. We said if we could keep this under 10 or at 10 and not get it no more, we could, because we took a good shot at them. We took a real good shot at them. But I'm going to tell you something. Those guys are, hey, the officiating wasn't that good either. That isn't what beat us, but A&M was walking with the ball all day.
Yeah, they were. And especially there at the end, there were a couple of walks that weren't called that would have been huge plays in the game. I thought the officials, though, for the most part, did an okay job of staying out of the way of that game.
Yeah, now that wasn't a difference, Tony.
No, none at all.
I'll tell you one thing, though. Tindall, first time I've seen him, you know, coach in person. That's the first time I've seen him in person. He's got a lot of energy, and it actually goes into the crowd. Because I'm going to tell you, that's one of the loudest I've ever heard TBA today. I mean, of course, you know, when we started coming back, I mean, in the first half a couple of times, it was a heck of an atmosphere, guys.
It's, we want this guy to make it. It's going to be fun here. Pizon, we got our coach.
Now, here's the thing, guys. You know, whatever goes on, and Tony, here's the thing. They might get this letter Thursday. They might not get it to a year from Thursday. Because you're right, they got all that stuff in front of them. And if they come in and bust Tindall and then give Roy Williams a slap on the hand, I'm serious. I think Petrie on them and Bill Haslam ought to take them to federal court. I'm serious.
I totally agree. Or call a press conference, just say, hey, we've decided we're not abiding. We think that this is ridiculous.
And that ain't just Roy Williams, Keith. This goes back to Dean Smith.
Right. I mean, this goes back through all the guys, through all their guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
are you guys going to take apart Dean Smith now? Now, well, Pizon,
Dean,
you got some tobacco, right?
This, Tony.
That's some Winston-Salem jealousy right there. You haven't gone to NC State. That's some jealousy right there.
Well, they ran Jimmy B out of town on a rail, and then Dean Smith was down there with no-show classes, you know. So,
those are the best kind. No-show classes were my favorite, man. Thank you, Pizon.
My problem was I didn't show up, but I didn't get the grades either, so it's kind of rude.
Interesting. Take care, brother. Yeah, you still got to show up to get the grade in the no-show class. I got time for one more call. Hatfield, it's been a lot of fun, man.
As always, Tony.
I hate losing. But, again, if we go 6-6 from here, I'll take that and call it a very good season. 6-6 from here, Hatfield. Would you make a deal with me? Would you take that?
Oh, yeah. I think that at least gets you in the realm of where you need to be.
And the teams left that are going to ugly us up. Well, Kentucky can play any way we want to play, and I think they'll beat us.
Right. Georgia
has a chance to ugly us up. Who else?
Vanderbilt probably there will be tough.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's nobody left that I just go, oh, God. I mean, other than Kentucky, because LSU is prone to go brain dead at any moment, so I don't think that's some desperate we can't win game.
Mississippi State here is a win.
Yeah, Auburn here should be a win. I mean,
Auburn here is a win. Florida here, win or loss?
Yeah.
Win?
You know, Florida there is going to be tough.
How about Florida here? We haven't.
No, we don't get them here.
Oh.
So that's, but I mean, anything on the road is going to be tough just because the road's always tough, but this team isn't. But, I mean, Florida's nothing. I mean, this isn't going to play Joe Kim, Noah, Al Horford.
No. And they're not, and again, they're liable to get caught into our goofy play because they're not exactly good.
No.
And they're not real conventional either. Never have been. Let's go back to the phones and grab another call. It's these conventional plotting teams that are going to, they just pull Tennessee out of games.
Right. Well, we can't score because we have to score off our defense. And if you make us only score through our offense, we're not going to do much. That's just what we are. I mean, that's nobody's fault. It's just what we are.
Let's go back to our phones. And grab our final call of the night. By the way, Keith, for the viewing pleasure of folks, you being the hoops junkie, what do you recommend we look at tonight if we're sitting around on this cool night?
Baylor, Oklahoma at 6, and then I really like San Diego State at Colorado State at 10 to be probably the two best games of the evening. It's actually probably, I mean, for a pure hoops junkie, the best game of the night's not on television, because that's Stephen F. Austin at Sam Houston State, and those two combined have like a 26-game winning streak or something.
Wow. By the way, St. Joe's tonight plays Penn in the hallowed hall of the Palestra, a game that Phil Martelli has gone out of the way to play there, and is thrilled to death that his kids are getting an opportunity to play in that place in front of a packed house. It's going to be a sold-out game, big crowd. That's a very special thing, Keith. You ever been inside the Palestra?
Oh, yeah.
It speaks. It just feels like... It just feels like a cathedral of hoop should, a place like that.
Absolutely. I mean, the place reeks of the smell of popcorn and stuff. I mean, it smells like you're in a basketball arena.
To the phones we go. Grab our final call of the day. Hello and welcome on your Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Hey, Tony and Keith. How y'all doing?
Hey, MP, welcome, man.
Yeah, good. Hey, one observation, I thought this was really the only league game that we came out in the second half and didn't show a decided coaching advantage from an adjustment standpoint.
Yep, 7-0 run. In fact, they seemed to be ready for what we were doing, and I tip my cap to the job that was done today by Mississippi State, or by Arkansas, rather, or A&M, they walked in here extremely prepared, and they executed.
They're night and day from the first two teams they rolled out last year and the year before.
Yes, they are.
I mean, that's a pretty good team, really. And they hit a lot of, open threes, so they were making shots from the outside as well. Honestly, Tennessee was lucky to make the run that they did because it was – the trend wasn't there that it was even going to be close at the end.
I tweeted earlier during the game that I thought that the A&M looked like an NCAA tournament team. That's what NCAA tournament teams look like. They play well on the road. They're balanced. That team is balanced. Good guard play. Hit a timely three. Get loose balls. I was really, really, really impressed with the level of play that they brought into Thompson Bowling today. They're far superior than the team we have. It's not even close talent wise.
Guys, I think probably it'd be tough to get that one out of Arkansas, but Tennessee can come back, beat Auburn and Mississippi State. That'll be 6-3.
Yep.
And close the first half of the league schedule. It's coach of the year material. And, who knows down the stretch, because there'll probably be a lot of teams that start falling apart. So there'll be opportunities for Tennessee to, and I really don't think Donnie will let us fall apart. I just think they're too mentally tough and dialed in. I don't think the effort was that awful today, honestly. And, you know, looking at that shot, I thought it was off the rim and it was a legal, perfectly legal play. I don't have a problem at all with that.
So you don't, that's interesting.
Well, MP, I don't tend to get too fired up. If I sing it live, don't get upset about it. I tend not to go back and worry about what super slow mo tells me. I mean, if I wouldn't have gotten it right myself, I don't worry about somebody else getting it right.
That's fair.
It rolled to the left side of the rim, and it wasn't above the cylinder. It's clearly going off the cylinder, and it did look like Reese tapped it. But you know, you kind of could see the day coming after winning three straight, gutting them out, and then just you know having to come back here and play a team that you don't match up well against. So.
Oh, absolutely. But now you're sitting there and you really scratch your head because you go, this year is so strange that we're 1-2 at home. And the two teams that beat you are two teams with zero basketball tradition. Alabama.
Well, now Alabama does have one basketball tradition to a great extent, and that's beating us.
And A&M's developing
late 80s,
that slowly.
They were Sweet 16.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, come on. Last
I certainly doubt there were big parties thrown in either city over these wins. I'll put it that way.
Probably not a post-game Basilio type show.
Interesting.
No.
Interesting.
Hey, on the way out, what Roy Mullins and I are trying to do organically orchestrate is a Tyndall trolley to Athens. And if he gets Rick Raid down there today, may have a better thought on that game.
Let me know if you guys are going to do that, and maybe I'll ride for free on somebody else's trolley for once. Thank you. By the way, Hatfield on the way out, would that be a bad loss today for Mississippi State, or for Georgia rather, to lose in their building to losing your building
to Mississippi State? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two straight road wins. Mississippi State's only down one with 2.5 to go, or 2 minutes to go rather.
That's how you miss. That's exactly how you miss the NCAA tournament, Tony.
Yes.
Losing games like that.
Today's game doesn't really kill Tennessee, does it?
No.
From that end.
No, you're the selection committee,
and you look at that
loss.
You beat LSU.
You've gotten that game back, and probably plus a little bit.
Selection committee wouldn't look at that as a bad loss today, though, would they?
No, because they're going to end up in the top 100 in the RPI. I mean, they're going to be a borderline NCAA tournament team. So, no, I don't think that's in any way a problem.
A&M could make the NCAA tournament, couldn't they?
Yes.
Very much so.
I think they could. Yeah. The goofiest game in the history of college basketball is being played in Morgantown right now. The losing coach may kill the officials.
You mean to tell me you're choosing to watch West Virginia rather than watch this?
What when you say this, what are we talking about being this, Tony?
Georgia and Mississippi State. You talk about a captive audience.
They called three. Trent Johnson just pushed West Virginia's players out of the way to attack the official.
Yes. Yes.
Huggins is like, well, who the hell's hand do I shake?
Yes.
But you know what? Had it gone the other way with the call on the other end, the same thing would have happened. Trent Johnson would be waiting at half court for hugs right now.
Hatfield,
that is the most ridiculous game I've seen in a long time.
Hatfield, you're never one prone to hyperbole or excitement. Give me a or a snap judgment. Give me a final thought on the way out.
Oh, I think you take today. That's the middle of this league isn't as good as the top eight in the Big 12. But I think it's going to be the same effect, Tony. They're going to beat the living hell out of each other. I mean. Tennessee's going to win some games. Tennessee will probably win a game at Georgia, at Vanderbilt, someplace like that. That you kind of think, you know, that was going to be tough. Maybe even at LSU, you find a way to, or against Arkansas, you find a way to win one of those. I don't think there's enough separation between the middle of this league that you're going to have situations where, hey, you're going to lose some at home that you go, oh man, that's tough. But you're going to make it back up by winning a game on the road that you think you shouldn't have. I don't see any reason to despair from what happened today. I thought A&M played a little better, and Tennessee probably learns a little bit today, and that they didn't come out all guns blazing. So I think they learned a little bit today. But I don't think in any way today's some grand disaster, and we need to start worrying about whether or not we're going to finish at 500 or not.
Hatfield, love you, man. Appreciate you, brother.
Always, Tony. Always a good time.
I want to thank my friends at Smartway and Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics for allowing us to do this with you. I want to thank the Living Common Fan today. We will get through it. The Vols lose today, 67-61. Fall to 12-6 on the year, 4-2 in the league. Coming up next here at TonyBasilio.com, we continue our cornucopia of wonderful live music. Purveyor of all things Texas, Jerry Jeff Walker, reading a book right now on the advent of Austin City Limits. It's been an American institution since the mid-70s, but didn't start out that way. I'll be interviewing the author as part of our Book Corner segment. At any rate, Jerry Jeff Walker will be followed by a Mel Tillis show that features some excellent pedal steel playing. And then we're going to light you up with something from the early Dwight Yoakam canon. Mid-80s, to be specific. Dwight Yoakam, probably before he was wearing the tight jeans at the Bijou Theater with the roll of quarters in them. Interesting. Or was that a fallacy? I don't know. And then after that I might go off the board. Listen to my man right there. I want to say I thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. Hope you have yourself a beautiful day.
say happy.